We'll continue our studies in the book of Jonah in chapter 4. So if you want to turn there, that'd be a great help as we look at just four verses this week, and then we'll finish it off next week, the rest of chapter 4. So we're looking at Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 to 4 this evening. Have you ever been really frustrated at God's actions in a situation? Perhaps even so frustrated at what God has done that you've become mad. You got so angry that you become mad. Maybe you wanted or perhaps expected God to act in a certain way and he hasn't. You really needed that job. God knew that you needed the job. You prayed, but he didn't give you the job. Why? You really wanted that relationship to work out. You were being prayerful, careful, obedient, but it failed. Why? Or maybe you've longed for something for years, but God hasn't given it to you. Everyone else seems to have it, but you don't. Perhaps you have something or some responsibility that you'd rather you didn't have. Has that ever got you so frustrated, so angry and so mad that God's actions have made you mad? Well, in our studies in Jonah, we're now coming to the point in the book that's really the greatest tension for Jonah. He's angry. Really angry. One of the books I've been reading on the book of Jonah describes Jonah in different situations through the book. So he's in the boat, in the belly of the fish, in the city, and now he's in a rage. Describes him in chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. And the reason that Jonah is so angry is because of what God has done. Because of what God has done. And so we're going to look this evening at these four verses from the start of the fourth chapter and ask the question, when God's actions make you mad, what should you do? When God's actions make you mad, what should you do? We're going to see three things. That first of all, we need to let God be God. Secondly, we need to take truth to heart. And then thirdly, we need to remember the mercy of God. Let God be God, take truth to heart, and remember God's mercy. So first of all, when God's actions get you mad, what should you do? First of all, let God be God. We should just do a quick recap as to how we've got where we are in the book. As you remember, at the start of the book of Jonah, God speaks to Jonah and says, go to the city of Nineveh in this direction. And Jonah jumps on a boat in that direction, the opposite way. He runs from the Lord. God sends a storm to the boat, and Jonah is thrown out of the boat into the ocean. As he's drowning, God provides a great fish to swallow Jonah. He spends 3 days and three nights in the fish, and he prays to God. God commands the fish to bring Jonah to dry land and bring him up onto the dry land. And then Jonah goes to Nineveh and preaches the message that God has given him to preach to that city. And then there's a wonderful turning in Nineveh from their sin to the Lord. And then we'd all love the book to finish because it would be a nice ending. The city has been saved, it's turned from its sin to the Lord. There's been a great revival in that sense. But we read in chapter 4 that Jonah seems to be the only one who isn't happy. And he's really not happy. We read, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. More literally, you could read it like this. It was evil to Jonah, a great evil, and it burned him. So it's strong, isn't it? This is a Hebrew way of saying he didn't like it. But it's quite a strong way of saying that. It's not just like saying, your dinner is a great evil to me. It's like saying, your actions are a great evil to me. It's a really strong way of a Hebrew saying, that was not a very, I didn't like what you did there. And Jonah is angry with God about what God has done. And he's so angry that he's angry enough to die. He doesn't want to take his own life, but he wants God to take it. So he's angry and he's frustrated and he's bitter and he wants to die. And I wonder, have you ever got so frustrated, so angry about what God has done that you've almost got to this point? Or you got close where you've just had enough? Well, what's the source of Jonah's anger? Why is he so angry? Well, in the general sense, he's angry because of what God has done. Because God has not brought disaster on Nineveh, that he's not poured out his wrath on them and destroyed them, but rather he's been merciful. He's been consistent with his character as a merciful God. And what's so interesting here for Jonah is that he doesn't get the events wrong at all. Sometimes we get angry because we misinterpret events or what people have done. But Jonah understands the events, but he just doesn't like them. He's angry because of what God has done. So angry with God. But why does he not want God to show grace to Nineveh? Why does he not want Nineveh to be shown mercy? Well, we've talked in our studies in the book about various reasons why Jonah might have felt that way. It could be that he thought they were such awful sinners that they didn't deserve God's mercy. You know, he was a sinner, but they were sinners. He was a little sinner, and they were really big sinners. And we know that the Ninevites were not a nice people. They were very serious, evil, and very serious sinners. Or perhaps it was because they were the enemies of Israel. We've looked also at how Assyria, Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, were a threat from the north. And so Jonah doesn't want mercy to be shown to them because that would be to show mercy to the enemies of God's people. And surely God shouldn't do that. He should show kindness to his people and bring judgment on his enemies. Came across another suggestion this week, interestingly from an evangelist, who said maybe he was upset because God hadn't done what he said would happen. Because Jonah went to Nineveh, proclaims that in 40 days it will be overturned, and that doesn't happen. God shows mercy. He shows kindness. So maybe he doesn't want God to do that because he wants his message to be fulfilled. And all these are possible, but it's interesting that the text doesn't nail it completely for us as to which of these it might be, or it may be something else. But what we do know is the basic issue is that Jonah is angry with God because God has done something he doesn't want him to do. He wants, if you think about it, he wants to control God. He has an idea of God, of how God should act, and particularly how God should act towards these Ninevites. And he takes an idea, he projects it onto God and says, be like this. Fulfill my expectations. He wants God to come into line with what he expects. But God blows up these expectations. He shows that he's completely outside of Jonah's control. He is God, not Jonah. And part of being God is that you don't always fit people's expectations. You are other. You are different. You are the one in control, not Jonah. Now, perhaps we can act and think like Jonah quite a lot. We don't let God be God. But rather, we want God to be as we would expect him to be. We think God should be like this. And we project that idea onto God and we expect that of him. And then we get mad. We get frustrated. We get angry when he's different. But it's so important for us to let God be God. Because God is God. It's so important that we don't take our own ideas of God and project them onto God and expect him to behave in those ways, but rather we take God as he has revealed himself in his word in the Bible, and we don't seek, don't expect him to be what we would desire, but rather as he has shown himself to be in the Bible. And so it's so important, isn't it, that we take time to form our understanding of God from his words and not from our own minds, our own expectations. I wonder if part of the problem for us sometimes is that we don't know God as he has revealed himself in his word, but rather we have our own ideas of what God is like. We don't spend time in the scriptures asking, maybe a first question when we come to a passage, what does this passage teach me about God? What does it teach you about God's character? Such that we form our idea of God, not from our own mind, but from the Bible and from how God has revealed himself. But it's also so important, isn't it, that we take great care not to feel anger against God. It's a very dangerous thing, isn't it? People in the Bible were destroyed for less. We need reminding that we're creatures. And God is the creator. And part of God being the creator and us being the creatures is that he calls the shots. He's in control, not us. We can't change God. We have to see him as he is. And let him rule over our lives. That's what it means to be a creature, to be created by God. So the first thing we need to see is that we need to let God be God. When God's actions make us mad, we need to let God be God. And don't take our own ideas of God and expect him to fit them, but rather from our ideas of God and our understanding of what God is like from his word and from the Bible. So that's the first thing, let God be God. Secondly, let truth and take truth to heart. Take truth to heart. We need God's truth to affect our hearts. We need God's truth to affect our hearts. In verse 2, Jonah prays to God. And he uses a form of words that we find elsewhere in the Bible. That was why I was so keen that we read Exodus 34. And I'm thankful for Steve for reading 24. It was my fault. It was entirely my fault in the order of service. I put 3 instead of 2. Because in Exodus 34, our reading that we had the second time, we read those words for the first time. And as you look through the Bible, you find that those same form of words, this idea that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity, those are the words that you get in Exodus 34. And then you find them 8 other times through the Bible, at least 8 other times. What's interesting is that the context of the words in Exodus 34 are that this is the second time that Moses has come up the mountain to receive the law written on the tablets of stone. Now, why is it the second time? Well, because the first time Jonah did that and brought the tablets down, what happened? He broke them. Why did he break them? He broke them because of what he saw the Israelites doing. They were bowing down to that golden calf and worshipping it. So when we get these words in Exodus 34, this second giving of the Ten Commandments of the law, the context is This is the mercy of God to calf worshippers. This is the mercy of God to people who bow down to golden calves. And it's interesting that those words are used in a number of different ways. I said there's about 8 other occurrences of them elsewhere in the Bible. They're used as a basis as an appeal to God for help. So on a basis of an appeal to God to help. So help us, Lord, because you're like this. They're used as a basis of praise to God. We praise you, Lord, because you're like this. They're even used as an incentive to God's people to repent and return to God. So return to God because he is like this. But they're never used as Jonah uses them, as a basis for a complaint against God. And that's significant because it tells us something about what's going on in Jonah. Because he uses the right words about God, he knows them, and he knows them well, it seems, but he does not use them in the right way. Because they've not really affected his heart as they should. He knows them, but they've not affected his heart as they should, because truth hasn't gone down into his heart. You see, if he really understood that God was merciful, what would that do? Well, he wouldn't complain, would he? He wouldn't get angry with God. He'd rejoice. Why? Because God has shown mercy to these Ninevites. God is showing himself to be the kind of God that he is. But his heart hasn't been affected by this truth. It's even more amazing when you think of what God has already done for Jonah. Think of how God has shown Jonah mercy. He was at sea, drowning. He sent a great fish, a great sea creature, to swallow him, to preserve him. He was then brought back to dry land, given a second chance to go and preach and fulfill what God had said. But the truth hasn't gone down into his heart. He's got the right words, but he's not using them in the right way. And it's so important that we take God's truth to heart. We need right theology. That is, we need to know the right things about God. But it needs to affect us in right ways. It needs to trickle down into our hearts. The mercy of God should have led Jonah to delight. But instead he gets angry because the truth isn't going down into his heart. If you think about it, all that we know about God, everything we know about what God is, should affect our heart, shouldn't it? It shouldn't just be something we know in our minds, but something that has a response in our hearts. It should lead us to love God, to rest in him, to rejoice in him. There should be a response in our souls, in ourselves. But that doesn't happen for Jonah, and so often it doesn't happen for us because we don't take God's truth to heart. In the Peanuts cartoon strip, there's a particular occasion when Lucy and Linus are staring out of the window and watching it rain. And the conversation goes like this. It's American, and you'll pick this up. Lucy says, "Boy, look at it pour." That was the American bit. Boy, look at it pour. "What if the whole world floods?" Then Linus says, "It won't. In Genesis 9, God promised Noah that he would never happen again. And the sign of that promise is a rainbow." Lucy turns back against the window with a great big smile on her face and says, "You've taken a great load off my mind." Linus says, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." Do you get it? Truth affects the heart. And truth should affect the heart. But it hasn't for Jonah. Has it for you? Does what you know about God affect your heart, such that you respond to God's truth as you should and as I respond as I should? Does it grab you? Does it trickle down? Or does it just stay as something you know, as opposed to something you treasure that affects all of you? Now, it's not all bad from Jonah here at the start of chapter 4, because there's a ray of hope. And the ray of the hope is in the way Jonah responds to what God has done. Because you remember in chapter 1, Jonah flees from the Lord because he didn't like what God told him to do. So when he didn't like it, maybe frustrated about what God was going to ask him to do, he ran away from God. But now in chapter 4, when he doesn't like what God has done, he doesn't run from God, but rather he brings his complaint to God. He prays. And that's good. He comes to the Lord in prayer. So instead of running from the Lord when he's angry, he turns to God. And so it's so important, isn't it, that when we see anger in our hearts, when we see that we're not letting God be God, and when truth isn't trickling down, we go to God in prayer. We seek the Lord in prayer. And we ask God to deal with our anger. And we ask him to change our hearts. And why do we do that? Because of the mercy of God. Remember the mercy of God. Third point. We see two wonderful demonstrations of God's mercy in these verses. And because God is merciful and God is kind, we can find forgiveness when we return to him. We can find forgiveness when we've responded like Jonah to what God has done. When we've got angry and mad with God at his actions, we can find forgiveness when we return to him, because he's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy to Nineveh because he didn't destroy them. He was compassionate and kind to them. And Jonah didn't really believe that God should be merciful. But friends, do you really believe that God is merciful? That's what God says he's like, but do you believe that? If you believe that, you'll come back to him when your heart has been like Jonah. And when God asks us to speak to those who are our enemies about the message of Jesus, we'll be willing, because we know God's mercy to us. I wonder how you'd feel about that if, think of the person who's wronged you the most, and they came and they asked you genuinely to explain to them about Jesus. How would you feel? Would you be willing? Would you rejoice when they came to Christ? Would you be willing to tell them about the Savior? Because God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. And he welcomes sinners. So God is merciful to Nineveh, but he's also merciful to Jonah. And he shows him great mercy, because after this outrageous outburst, he responds with one very gentle question. Have you any right to be angry? Or perhaps, better read as, are you right to be angry? Or do you have the right to be angry? But are you right to be angry? Have you understood this as you should? Or is your mind not where it should be because you're not letting me be God and you're not taking truth to heart? Because the Lord doesn't destroy Jonah. We're going to see that God is continually kind to him. In fact, he continues to teach him. Learn about that next time. God deals with him very, very gently and very kindly. And that's a great encouragement to us, because when we've been like Jonah and we have been mad with God because what God has done, we can know that when we come back to him, he'll be merciful. He'll be forgiving. So when we realize that we've not let God be God, when we realize that we've not allowed God's truth to affect our hearts, when we've been angry, inconsistent, irrational sinners, where should we go? Well, we need to go to the mercy of God. And where is it we see the mercy of God? At the cross of Christ. That's where God shows us his mercy. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we can come to God seeking his forgiveness. We can come to God in repentance and know that he'll be merciful. Why? Because of Jesus. Because Christ has paid for our sins such that God will never punish us. He will always receive us back. Because Jesus has paid the penalty for that sin. So because God is merciful, we can come back to him. And because God is merciful, we can turn and we can be restored. So when God's actions make you angry, when he doesn't give you what you want, what should you do? Well, first of all, let God be God. Remember, he's the creator. We are his creatures. He is not constrained by our expectations of him. And so we need to let our God be God. Secondly, we need to let truth, take the truth to our hearts, trickle down, affecting us, so we don't respond like Jonah. But when we do, we need to remember God's mercy. We need to come back to the Lord, because God is a God of mercy. And then maybe as I've spoken this evening, there's something in your life, or there's some attitude of your heart towards the Lord, where you know that you've sought to make God in your own image, or where you know that the truth isn't affecting your heart. Will there be a gap after our closing hymn before the Lord's Supper? I'd encourage you to come to the Lord with that and confess it to him and seek his grace. And he will restore. The Bible says that those who humble themselves before the Lord, he will lift up. So if God's been dealing with you that way, do that. Because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. And it's that grace that amazes us. And it's that grace that restores us. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do want to confess to you that we so often make you in our own image, that we have expectations of you, and we don't form our idea of you, our understanding of you from your word. We pray that you'd forgive us for that, and you'd help us to look again to your scriptures, to find our understanding of you there, and also to sit under you as created creatures and recognize that you are the Lord. We pray that you'd forgive us when we have not let your truth affect our hearts, where it's been cold to us. It's not been something that's affected us in our souls, in our hearts. And we pray that you would help us to love your truth, to know your truth, and also to treasure it. Pray you'd forgive us when we've been bitter or angry at your actions. And we thank you that you indeed are a God of grace, a God of mercy, who welcomes sinners. Thank you that Jesus came for sinners. And we pray that you'd help us again this evening to look to him and remember your grace, because we know we need it day by day. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.